From the Pavilion on Cambridge 105 Radio with Wispal, the mobile app that keeps you up to date with grassroots football in Cambridgeshire. To find out more, visit wispal.com.
Hello, good evening. Welcome to another edition of From the Pavilion. We are live this week. Me and Cam Guest are in the studio, and I'm also joined in the studio by March 2 skipper Rob Toombs. He's going to talk all about their terrific form in Senior Division 1. We'll also be joined by Ben Seabrook on the phone to play the latest round of Who's the Biggest Badger. The last person to do that was James Williams. He did very well. I think he got about 24. Still, Sam Rippington on top spot, though. We'll also be taking a look at the honours boards. Who's been the best performers from last weekend? We'll be rounding up our EAPL sides have wins on the weekend, and there was one for Saffron Walden, a draw between Burwell Exing and Cambridge in the local derby. We'll also be proving their fixtures on the weekend to come. And of course, we'll be getting stuck into England. Two losses on the bounce against Sri Lanka and Australia. Are they going to bottle this Cricket World Cup? So welcome to From the Pavilion. Let's get straight to the chat now and talk March Town 2s with Rob Toombs is in the studio today. But first, we've got a poll running on our Twitter page at FTPCricket_105. If you want to vote on that, you can. It's will England win the Cricket World Cup? That's what we want to know this hour. That's our pinned tweet on Twitter. Go over to that and have your say. But talking local cricket first. Rob, thanks for coming into the studio. Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
And yeah, let's get straight to then. A brilliant start to the season. Top of Senior 1.
It's been good. I've got to be honest, I don't think we would have expected to be there just yet. We wanted to be there or thereabouts, but to be there sort of just before the halfway stage is a good place to be.
Yeah, what's the standard been like a Senior 1? Because there was obviously a bit of change with Whiting's Free created. You lost five teams in Chatteris, Wisbeach, Foxton, Old Lazians and Burwell Exing, but you gained five in obviously yourselves going up to Godolphin, Longstanton, Royston and Great Shelford. How's it been?
I'd say, to be fair, that the standard is higher than what we were playing. I think we find it, obviously, the now all of a sudden the bowlers, your second, third change bowlers, are probably a proper bowlers as such. I'd like to, you know, so we don't have the opportunity to sort of to cash in on runs at the end. You know, you've got to play proper cricket. Really, it's, you know, you can't slack off and or think of, I'll cash in at the end, because that opportunity isn't coming now. You know, all the teams in the league, they're all fair sides. You know, we haven't had an easy game. So yeah, I think it is a tough league at the moment. Yeah,
you said it's a tough league, but making light work of it so far. Obviously promoted last season, you were fourth in Senior 2, but went up into the Senior 1 division. How have you guys eased that transition into the league? Have you signed a few players?
We've had a few come back from sort of. We had a couple away with the Armed Forces, for instance. We've had a couple come back from university, and someone else who hasn't played for a few years has come back. So we've got like we've got a very good mixture. We've had I think half the team are potentially young enough to be first team players, and the other half are ex first team players that won the league in sort of 2007. And you know, we've got that good mix at the moment of sort of experience and youth. So yeah, we're doing well. I'd just like to say we've signed a couple of lads from Hardwick, which has helped strengthen the whole club in general. So that helps, obviously, all the teams going in the club now. So we're in a lot stronger position now than we were, say, I don't know, at the beginning of the season. So we're doing well.
Yeah, and obviously it took a while to get started, as did most teams really, because of the bad weather. So first two fixtures of the season, Abingdon and Fulham Institute, fell to the weather.
Yeah.
Got started then against Camborne, which I guess was your first real game of the season. And in terms of the table, they're sitting in second place, you in first. I guess you probably wouldn't have known at that point that it would be the top two, but a really crucial game that you won.
Well, we remember then when we played them sort of would have been not last year, the year before, and they were a very strong side then. So we knew that, again, they was in the league prior to us coming up. So we knew that the sort of teams we were going to come up against. So we didn't to win. We knew we'd kind of got a good result there. Obviously, we don't target any fixtures where we think, okay, there we're going to try and win that one. You know, it's just we're going to go out. We believe we can beat anyone. And to sort of our first competitive game of the season, first result was away at home to Campbell, and was a good way to sort of for us to kick off the season.
Yeah, it certainly was. As I said, they're second in the league. Yourselves top, Godolphin third, Longstanton fourth, and Abingdon fifth. Royston sixth, and then a bit of a gap down to Cambridge NCI in seventh. Who do you reckon are you going to be your challengers if you do want to get promoted?
I do believe it will be Camborne, and potentially even Godolphin. We see enough when we played them a couple of weeks ago that they've got lads that can come in, and you know, if you don't back properly, they will knock a score off very, very quickly. Mm. We changed the game through with the first wicket, got the lad who was getting all their runs, and then we just put a bit of pressure on them, and you know, catches went our way. They could have easily gone the other way and missed fielders and stuff, but at the moment we seem to be taking the catches when they're coming. So that's, as they say, catches win matches. So.
Yeah, and I guess it does look like the title is probably going to be won on those games against the top sides, between yourselves, Campbell and Godolphin, and the likes, and you know, the only blemish on the sort of fixture list so far was that game at Royston at the start of June.
Yeah, it was. Like you say, we had that's probably our poorest day for availabilities. Yet you look at the team we had out. There's a lot of players in there that you know could have stepped up and should have stepped up. Putting sort of, I'd say, what, 219 on the board after 35 overs, you would hope to be able to defend it, but you know, they won it with an over to spare. So you have to take the rough with the smooth and say, okay, right, dust yourself off and come back at them.
Yeah, and like I said, that was the only blemish. And in terms of putting runs on the board, you meant 219 in 35 overs against Royston there. Me and Callum have sort of trawled through scorecards and seen, you know, teams really struggling to get up to 200. Yeah. And you've done it pretty well on most occasions. You've batted first in I think, five out of the six games you've played. Has that been a clear tactic for you, or has it just fell into place that way and you've managed to put runs on the board?
We've had this conversation at the beginning of the season and stuff like that, and said, look, if you know the experienced players have turned around and said, look, if you bat your 45 overs, you'll get a decent score on the board. You bat first, you put the runs on the board, and then you turn around and sort of say, there you go, over to the opposition, and say, you know, if you're good enough to chase it down, well done. If not, we'll be ready and waiting.
Yeah, and Callum, we've spoke lots about, I guess, whether you bat first or bat second, and I guess proving locally and in terms of the World Cup as well, that batting first, there's nothing like it, and putting pressure on the board and scoreboard pressure really does take its toll.
No, absolutely. I think at any standard you play, scoreboard pressure, you know, and working out the maths behind it and getting people in and set and when to go and when to chase down the runs is a massive part of the mental side of the game, which players down at local league cricket, you know, EAPL downwards, sometimes struggle with. Mm. So it's a definite tactic, and it's one that often pays off.
Yeah, and in terms of scoring the runs, I was looking through the stats today in terms of bat and ball, who's been the outstanding performers. There hasn't really been one guy who's got tons and tons of runs. It's, you know, Nigel Wright is top of the run scorers, but I guess he's situated around the middle order. It's more been a combined effort.
Yeah, like you say, Nigel, he brings a bit of the experience to the side. He was like an ex-first team captain for us, so he has all the experience that we need. He's got us out of a couple of holes. And like say, he's when sort of the order's kind of falling apart around him, he just sits there, does what he needs to do, and then sort of before you know it, we've put like 200 plus on the board. Mm-hmm. and hit, there he was, I think, with a sort of 40 or a 50 not out, and he's like, well, this is how you do it. So it's a bit of an example to the rest of us as well. But like say, as much as he's top run scorer, we also sort of say, like, we've had a couple of lads. One of the lads we brought in from Hardwick got 100 on debut at Royston. Mm. So everyone is sort of chipping in here and there. Nigel just seems to be the one at the moment that's contributing most.
Stealing the headlines, yeah, you could say.
Yeah,
that's it. And in, like I say, doing the business with the ball as well, bowled in the six games you've played, bowled size out four times, and in one of the other games you took 9 wickets. So it's not like you're scoring loads of runs and then just sitting on that and teams have been struggling to keep up. You've been bowling size out and been really clinical.
Yeah, again, it comes down to the experience we've got. Like Matthew Vowell is one of our spinners, for instance. He's had quite a few games with the first team last year. In the last couple of years, he's an attacking spin. He wants to bowl at the stumps, so he's thinking is he they miss, he hits. We've got, like say, another spinner who's just coming back from injury. We've got 3 left arm spinners in the side, myself included in that. So for teams to have that, and obviously we all bowl the same, you know, we can all tie at one end. The other end, we've got potentially 2-3 first team cricketers who bowl for us, just can't get in the first team side. So we've got bowlers that know what to do. They bowl that nagging length, and that's what we've just kind of stick to our game plan. We know what we can and can't do. But that's another reason why, we put runs on the ball, it's scoreable pressure. It helps us. I don't think we cope well the opposite way. We can do it. We know we can do it. So, we just have to see what happens with the other half of the season.
Yeah, you're talking like a man with confidence that you can get promoted. Was that an aim at the start of the season? I imagine it probably is now.
The aim, it wasn't so much an aim to be promoted. The aim was to be there or thereabouts. Obviously, as we stand now, we're sitting there looking and going, well, you know what, well, we can and we should be promoted. Obviously, at the beginning of the season, we said if we can get the team that we want out on a regular basis, we should be there or thereabouts. And like I say, at the moment, things are looking rosy for us and stuff, but we're also not getting complacent. We know that if we do get complacent, there are teams around us that are going to come at us hard.
Yeah, you talk about complacency. I guess that if it hasn't started, is a sort of game this weekend against Needingworth for a third bottom. If complacency is going to sort of creep in, it might do this weekend against a banana skin fixture. That sort of game.
Like I say, we played Great Shelford on Saturday, and we found ourselves 8-4. So again, straight away, you know, we're sitting there and we're looking at, as a captain, I'm sitting there thinking to myself, here we go. This is the one. This is where we're gonna slip up, and we ended up putting 200 plus on the board.
England could learn a few from that, couldn't they?
Yeah, that's it. Just stick there. And that's what we say to the young lads coming through. You know, if you bat 45 overs, you're going to get a score on the board. So what's the point trying to smash everything out of the ground in the 35th over? And that's what we did. We batted the 45 overs, we put a score on the board, and then said to Shelford, well, you know, come at us.
And I'm looking actually at the at a fixture on this Friday actually.
Yes.
Against an MCCLM. That sounds pretty exciting.
Yeah, it's like a school thing. The March Grammar School have got I think it's their 100-year anniversary. So the club have got a representative team from on behalf of the school. So MCC are coming along. So it's going to be a good day for the club.
Yeah. And in terms of the club, just finally then on the first team, and obviously Callum will probably be better suited to talk about this than myself, but there's obviously, look at the division, there's 9 teams in the division. There looks to be a top 6, if you like, and then more like a bottom 3. Because of a win over Wisbeach on the weekend, nothing like a good sort of local derby win, I guess you are now sort of pushed into that top 6, so it's going well in terms of first team as well.
Yeah, like I say, getting vibes from the first team, they're enjoying it again. It hasn't been all that rosy for them over the last couple of years. They've had to fight and grind results out. So at the moment, they're on a bit of a high. The good thing is, if you know, that kind of filters down to the rest of the team, we're on a high as well. So at the moment, there's a good good feel around the whole club.
Yeah,
which is nice to be part of.
Yeah, and Callum, I guess I think the game against March might have been sort of put off because of the weather. But I guess if you're looking at a team like March, you then can take points off Wisbeach. They're always going to be a threat when you come up against them later on in the season.
No, definitely. That was our one abandoned game for the season so far. But having spoken to a lot of the Wisbeach lads the other day, they said definite banana skin team of March. A bit renowned for throwing a few surprises.
Yeah.
And I think speaking to the Eton Soakin lads, they've actually, when they next play them, they've got a couple of players missing for that game. So I think they're fully expecting a really tough game when they you know, come around, and that's good news for us.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know you'll be supporting that game then. Yeah. We'll be two March fans in here for that fixture. Rob, thanks for coming. Really appreciate it. And we'll obviously keep following them throughout the season. See you go, and all the best later on in the season as well.
From the Pavilion on Cambridge 105 Radio with Wispar, the mobile app that keeps you up to date with grassroots football in Cambridgeshire. To find out more, visit wispar.com.
Yeah, welcome back to From the Pavilion here on Cambridge 105 Radio. Callum, you all right? How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. How are you?
Good, thank you. Let's move on and talk to our EAPL skippers now. And I believe you got Ben Harris with you.
Evening, lads.
How are you doing, mate? All good?
Yeah, good. How are you, Gesty?
Yeah, not bad. So what a difference a week makes.
What a difference a week makes. Fantastic win, mate. But, you know, I said to you last week that we're struggling a little bit of availability, so it was good to put out a full side, and that just shows to the lads what we're capable of when everyone turns out.
Yeah, you must have been chuffed at the halfway stage to restrict such a strong batting lineup to under 200. Was that the key difference?
Well, I think firstly, the fact that we bowled first helped. And then they got off to a good start. But spinners, Jake Foley and Ryan Deem, I think they bowled 33 overs, 9 for 92. So if spins do that, you know, I think 9 times out of 10, you're going to win the game. And they both bowled brilliantly. So, yeah, very happy at the halfway stage.
Yeah, I suppose you talk about the wicket. Was it a wicket you expected the spinners to do well on, or was it obviously the weather around? Was it a bit of a green seamer and just ended up spinning a bit?
No, it looked a good wicket, to be honest. But it did. It bounced and turned probably more than we all anticipated. But, you know, that was a bonus considering I've got two good spinners. So, no, it was good.
And then obviously going into the chase, you've restricted such a strong batting lineup to obviously 180-odd. Runs have been hard to come by in recent weeks, and obviously you were 75 at a stage. I suppose it was a pretty nervous changing room.
Yeah, those spaces are quite hard to, you know, 180 odd against a good side like that. You know, we found ourselves 50 for 5, I think, 60 for 5. But thankfully, yeah, we managed to get over the line. I think that will give the lads a lot of confidence. No, it was a good win.
I suppose you always find yourself in them chases with a slightly lower score than what you're expecting. Is that it's a bit of a how do you go about it situation? You can't really attack it, and, you know, if you lose a few wickets cheaply trying to really be aggressive, you know, it's a bit of a strange chase, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a strange one. I just told everyone to go and play their natural game, so whatever that is, just to go out there and do their thing and, you know, work together and we'd get there.
Now, obviously this week you travel to you're away to Bury St Edmunds. What's the message you're going to send out to your players looking ahead to the game, obviously after such a great win?
Well, I think we've only got one change, which helps. Keeping consistency for a start, you know, is really, really good. I think we've just got to go out there and perform how we did last week. We were excellent in the field, the best we'd been. And I think we need to maintain that. And just, you know, now we've got the confidence of being able to beat one of the best sides in the competition. I think, you know, we can beat anyone on our day after that result. So I think, you know, it gives us a lot of confidence. We've just got to stick to what we've been doing and our formulas, and hopefully it's good enough.
Top man. Well done on Saturday, and good luck for this week, and hopefully it's a positive result.
Yeah, you too, Gusty. Cheers, mate.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers, Ben. That was Ben Harris there, Saffron Walden skipper. They're back in action this weekend, and they're away to Bury St Edmunds. And speaking of Bury St Edmunds, we're going to be chatting to Ben Searick, who plays them, and Cambridgeshire next after this short break. Ben not picking up the phone at the minute. Clearly busy. Callum, let's talk Cambridgeshire then. On the weekend, start of the 3-day format. How was it? How was it for you up against Norfolk?
You know, as we spoke about, we've obviously played them a few times this year already, and there wasn't much changes in both teams. We lost the toss, and they didn't really know what to do. I think we wanted to have a bat anyway. We found ourselves in a bit of a sticky situation at 26 for 4 and then 60 for 6. But luckily, we bat deep as a team. So obviously, Rob Sayre coming at number 8, and we had Lee Thomason coming in at 7, who put on a fantastic partnership and got us up to a pretty decent first innings total.
I was going to say, the game sort of yo-yoed a bit. It was sort of batting collapses at a certain point for both sides. Was it a tricky pitch to bat?
I mean, we know that March traditionally is a bit of a slow, low one. We actually said, ironically, that the wickets won't come in massive bunches, they'll come in little clusters, which is almost not what happened at all. It's almost polar opposite, really. And when it came to their batting, it was almost like they couldn't get away. The run rate was pretty steady throughout the whole few days we played, about 2-3 and over for the first 70, and then you kick on in the last 20. But I mean, to put on 2-7-6 and then for them to be five ahead at the ninth end of the first innings, we were pretty chuffed with that. Bearing in mind the start we got off to and actually the way they batted.
I was just saying, then sort of going into the last day, I wasn't sure whether the draw was because England Australia was on. You should kind of wonder about sort of get to the pub, or but you told me it was a bit of a downpour.
No, there was a thunderstorm overnight. Obviously, we were only 158 ahead, I think, overnight. So we were almost... It was actually one of those where we went to sleep and we were kind of like, oh, we wouldn't mind this getting rayed off, actually. But, you know, with the water getting under the covers, we had a look and we thought, well, if we can only get a session in, it puts pressure on them to go after the potential win. And actually might suit the bowlers a little bit more with a wet patch in the middle.
Yeah, so heading into this Sunday's game then, switching back from Red Bull to White Bull, travelling up to Staffordshire for a pretty big game, quarter-final Unicorns Trophy.
No, yeah, it's a massive game. It's something that we spoke about early on in the season about that we're looking to target. That and the 2020s, obviously the 2020s come down to, you know, we were pretty unlucky to miss out there. But yeah, we got into the quarterfinals of this one-day cup and... No, I think the boys are really looking forward to it.
Yeah, and so you should. It's obviously a big opportunity to get to a semi-final and then, of course, a final as well. Well, Karen, I'll chat with the EAPL skippers then. And of course, delighted to say I'm joined by Burnley Sting skipper Joe Tetley. They're up against Cambridge on the weekend. It's a bit of a local derby. Are you well, Joe?
I'm well, yeah.
Oh, hi, mate. Okay.
Yeah, not too bad.
A bit of a one-sided draw at the weekend. How would you assess the game?
Yeah, it was. I mean, we got off to a bit of a flyer with the bat, and yeah, it's unfortunate the game panned out the way it did, but yeah, not much I can really say on it, to be honest.
Obviously, just for the listeners, Burwell next then posted 352 for 5 off of their 61 overs, which gave Cambridge 61 overs to chase the total down, and they ended up 185 for 5. I suppose a massive positive you take out of the game is obviously you've got more points than them and they were sitting one place ahead of you, which now puts you ahead of them. I suppose that's a positive you could take out of the game.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's the only way we can see it at the moment. It's frustrating that this format of cricket allows people to play negative cricket and still come away with points. I think the way the game's going, and I keep saying this, it's promoting positive cricket, and that's something I always try to instill in our boys is be positive in whatever you're doing. Let's look to go and get a result, and if it doesn't come off, you learn from it and you go again. I think if you're playing positive cricket and you get yourself into some sticky situations, you can always then get out of it a lot easier than being negative. So yeah, something that rattles me a little bit,
I suppose. It's one of those, isn't it? I mean, do you think there's anything you could have done as a captain potentially to push for the win? Could you have pulled out quicker, or you know, is it one of those? Obviously, we've spoken recently and you've had 300 chased down a couple of times this season. Was it one of those where you did kind of back your bowlers maybe with a score on the board to actually bowl them out, or do you think you could have in hindsight pulled out a little bit quicker?
Yeah, exactly that. I mean, 300 has been chased down a couple of times. There was a short boundary, it was a pretty flat deck, there wasn't too much in it, it wasn't too much turn, so those played a bit of an influence in it. And as I said, we got off to a flyer. I mean, scoring quite quickly sort of hindered us a bit, I reckon. If we went a little bit slower, you get a small total and you might give it a go at chasing it. But as I said, positive cricket, and we end up with 350 on the board. So from our point of view, batting was good. And we didn't bowl badly at all. It's just, yeah, just didn't work out for us.
Yeah, and I suppose you can't talk about the game without mentioning your own form. A brilliant 174 from 147 deliveries. You must have been delighted to get a big score for the lads and put yourselves in that position at halfway stage.
Yeah, it's been a bit of a ropey one for me this year. Just not really got going. But I had a few chances early doors, and managed to get some out screws, and it's nice to get some runs back on the board for the boys, and hopefully we can. I can do it again, back it up again.
And obviously looking forward to this weekend. You're travelling up to Norfolk to face Great Witchingham. They obviously had a convincing win on Saturday themselves, bowling out Vauxhall Mallards, who sit bottom of the table for 58. Where do you feel the game could be won and lost for yourselves?
We need to bowl tightly. I think it's normally a pretty good deck, but their bowling attack is pretty strong. I think if we get on the score on the board, we've got to work hard for it. But we just need to bowl them out. I think if we get through their top order, they look a little bit vulnerable down the bottom, so get a few early wickets and hopefully we can chase it or set a big score.
So the draw at the weekend hasn't put you off in bowling second and setting a big total?
No, absolutely not. No, I think it depends on the wicket and everything like that, and we play it by the conditions. Yeah.
Good man. Word on for your own form on Saturday, and hopefully you can push for that win this weekend.
Definitely. Cheers, mate.
Cheers, bud. It was Joe Tetley there, Burnley Lexing skipper, talking about the draw with Cambridge on the weekend. Callum, looking at the EAPL, East Anglia Premier League table. Who would be the happier at the minute? Obviously, it goes out to saying, I guess, Saffron Walden, out of our three Cambridgeshire sides, sitting the highest out of the Saffron Walden, Burnley Lexing and Cambridge.
No, definitely Saffron Walden have surprised a few teams this year, haven't they? I mean, like Ben said, when they've actually got a full team out, they've, you know, pretty much won most of the games they've played together. But it's just about putting a consistent team out. I think Rob will testify to the fact that getting a set 11 out each week can be a pain in the backside. But no, they're in a fantastic vein of form. And then Burwell, obviously, we've talked about this previously, they put on consistently 300 plus as a team. But their bowling just is probably slightly on the weak side at the moment.
Well, from it makes sense, doesn't it, from that Burnley Lexington game, talk from one skipper to another. So I'd like to say Johnny Atkinson, well, say one skipper, one wannabe skipper in Johnny Atkinson. You all right, Johnny? Johnny, are you there? Oh, Johnny's not there. Clearly, he says he's answered the call, but clearly silent, leaving us guessing. Right, we'll try and get Johnny back in just a bit then. But first, here's some music from Pixie Lott.
From the Pavilion on Cambridge 105 Radio with Wispar, the mobile app that keeps you up to date with grassroots football in Cambridgeshire. To find out more, visit wispar.com.
Yeah, welcome back to From the Pavilion here on Cambridge 105 Radio. Myself and Callum Guest in the studio, also joined by March Town 2's captain Rob Toombs. And I'm hoping we're joined on the phone now by Bray St Edmunds and Cambridge's Ben Searick. Ben, are you there?
Yep, hello there.
How are you, mate? You good?
I'm all good, thank you.
Good. Before we interrogate you and do the quiz, let's talk a bit about Cambridgeshire then. Obviously you played in the match against Norfolk on the weekend. A game, I guess, said to Callum, yo-yoed a bit but ended up in a draw.
Yeah, it was a bit of a funny couple of days. Obviously didn't start great and turned out to be in a pretty decent position after the first two innings. And then obviously another big collapse again. Got ourselves to a decent score end of our innings. And then obviously a bit of rain came and kind of squashed what could have been a decent game.
Yeah, and you travel to Staffs this Sunday for the quarter final of the Unicorns Trophy. How big a game is this for Cambridgeshire?
I think it's pretty huge. I think the Cams have won a bit of silver in a while, so I think to win a white ball comp or progress further would be a pretty big step for the side.
Yeah, in terms of Bray St Edmunds, come up against Saffron Walden this Saturday. What do you make of Saffron Walden's start to the season? What's your assessment of their campaign so far?
Actually, quite batting heavy, my thoughts are. I think obviously quite a good overseas from what reports show, and I think very beatable team for us to come up against. I think we've got the opportunity to stay in the top four if with a win. So I think that's what we'll be aiming for, 100%.
And what? Yeah, I have any. It's Cal. What's your ambitions for Bury at the moment? Where are Bury looking to go? Obviously, there's a bit of a gap building between the top two and the rest of the pack. So is it a case of getting into that top three, top four?
I think probably top four was more of our aim, just off Sudbury, Frinton and Swarston's the aim. The closer we get to them, obviously, the better. But I think we'll be the best out of the chasing pack.
Obviously, you've obviously got a relatively young team there. So is it a case of building for the future, you know, building for the next couple of years and really then pushing and then really staking a claim at the top of the APL?
Yeah, definitely got a lot of guys 19, 20, 21. So I think it can be like a two, three year exercise where we might have a great year, but then another year of experience for the lads. So I think where we're going this year, it's a great stepping stone for the future.
Absolutely.
Well, Ben, that's the easy bit over. Talking cricket, we're going to now quiz you on your cricketing knowledge. Callum's going to keep count of your score during a 1 minute round to see how many answers you can get correct. And then we'll give you a top 10 to try and complete. And your score that you get in the 1 minute round will be doubled for every correct answer you get in the top 10 table. Does that make sense?
Yep, perfect.
Cool. Well, Johnny Atkinson's just texted as well saying he was cooking, so that's why he couldn't get on the phone. So all people keen to listen to Johnny will be with you in a sec. But first, Ben. Right, so I'm going to start the clock. Callum's going to keep count. Are you ready to go?
Yep, let's go.
Cool. Your time starts now. Who top scored for New Zealand today against Pakistan?
Jimmy Neesham.
Correct. Who was West Indian captain before Richie Richardson?
No idea.
Viv Richards. Which country's national team are nicknamed the Tigers?
Bangladesh.
Correct. Who won the Cambridge and Norfolk region of the National Village Cup?
Norfolk.
Foxton. Which test venue has a Brian Statham end and the James Anderson end?
Old Trafford.
Correct. How many legal balls does a bowler bowl in an over if he bowls two wides?
Eight.
Six, fortunately. Who won their first county championship game of the season today?
No idea.
Sorry. Where is the Minor Counties T20 finals they held?
Wemsley.
Correct. Double Nelson represents what score?
2-2-2.
Correct. What was the expected global audience for India versus Pakistan at the World Cup?
2 billion.
Oh, close. 1 billion. Rohit Sharma is now third in the list of most hundreds for India in ODIs. Can you name one of the other two above him?
Kohli.
Correct. What's he got, Cal?
You've got six correct answers.
What, am I happy with that?
That's all right, yeah, I'll take that.
Yeah, the one that got you was how many legal balls does a bowler bowl in over if he bowls two wides? Yeah, that trick question.
Unbelievable.
Stinker.
Right, so your top 10, of course, England lost to Australia yesterday. We don't need reminding of that, but... And they don't really have a good record against Australia in World Cups, but they did do pretty well against them in the World T20 final in Barbados in 2010. Paul Collingwood was the skipper for that game and he hit the winning runs in that match. Can you name the other 10 players, Ben, who played for England in that match? I can say that if you get an answer wrong, you will lose all the points that you've got up to that point, but you can also declare. So choose carefully.
Okay.
You happy with that?
Yeah.
Cool. So when you're ready to give your first answer, let's go.
Yardy.
That's correct.
Papara. Yeah.
Oh, Ben.
Terror.
You sound gutted.
I am gutted. Yeah, I was an absolute banker.
Oh, go on, I'll give you another shot. No, not playing for points, but just that pride. Who else have you gone for?
Luke Wright.
Correct, yeah. Keep going.
Swan.
Correct, yeah.
Peterson.
Yep.
Anderson Broad.
No, Anderson's not Broad. I'll run through the 11. Lum scored 2. Keyes Vetter was man of the match with 63. Kevin Peterson, 47. Paul Collingwood... about at 4 was 12 now. Owen Morgan with 15. Luke Wright, Tim Bresnan, Yardy, Graham Swan, Stuart Broad, and Dance Gone Ice's Ryan Sidebottom. So.
Not Papara.
Yeah, not Ben. Not with Farah. Unlucky, Ben. Unlucky, mate.
No worries. Cheers.
See you later, mate. All the best for all the rest of the weekend.
Thank you. Cheers, lad.
Yeah, another failure. It was going so well when Willow got back on the leaderboard with 24.
He's confident with that as well, wasn't he?
Yeah. To be fair, though, if he didn't, apart from Barbara, he got pretty much everyone.
Would have been a good score.
Yeah, so unlucky Ben. Possibly getting back later on. Anyway, I know you're all keen to hear Johnny's thoughts on the draw with Bell Lexing on the weekend. We'll chat to him after this short break.
Pavilion on Cambridge 105 Radio with Wispar, the mobile app that keeps you up to date with grassroots football in Cambridgeshire. To find out more, visit wispar.com.
We are joined on the phone by Johnny Atkinson from Cambridge Cricket Club, who is going to talk to us about Saturday's Derby Day draw with Burwell and Exton. Hello, Johnny. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. It was looks a difficult day on Saturday, but I suppose you've got to be relatively happy to come away with a draw and the 7 points.
Yes, I don't think we've ever chased as much leather as we did on Saturday. We didn't bowl particularly well, and Joe and Tom at the top of the order for Burwell batted extremely well. And yeah, we thought they were going to go on forever, and we actually did all right to drag it back. And then, yeah, losing a few early wickets was always going to be a tough chase at the best of times. But losing a few early wickets, in particular, Mikey Pfeffer, who was sort of going to be our standout man and probably the main batsman who could have won us that game, got out early, and it was always going to be tough from there. So at the end it was a decent result, but not ideal. Yeah,
I suppose I was just about to say that. I suppose losing Pepper and Dominda Ranawira relatively early,
yeah,
and being without, yeah, Peter Younghusband for the game probably affected the way you went about the chase.
Yeah, I think, I mean, we came in and at half time we had, regardless of what they potentially think, we had every intention to go out for the win. And they bowled really well early on, and we couldn't really get away. I don't think they set too positive field, so it was quite hard to get the boundary. And once we'd lost a few early wickets, as it's a local derby and things, we just sort of, and we're quite close on the table, we did think, actually, we don't necessarily want to lose this game just by gifting them wickets by going for it when we needed to go at sort of 8 and over in a game that where the fielding, there aren't any fielding restrictions. So
I suppose it's one of those, the argument from your point of view, would you say they could have pulled out a bit earlier? And then obviously Tet in response to that is previously said to us that obviously they've had 300 chased against them a couple of times already this year, so I'm not sure he wanted that record, you know, again.
Yeah.
So
I mean, there's two sides to every story. I'm not going to get into a slaggy match, but like I think that they could have potentially pulled out a bit earlier, although they batted quite well, I think. Mm-hmm. They could have maybe settled for slightly fewer. It is what it is, and they gave us the same amount of overs. But I think that as soon as we lost early wickets, we were going to be playing catch up. I went in at number five, having lost our sort of crucial batsman, and we needed 280 to win at 8 and over. When there's no fielding restrictions, and I went in, they had sort of 3 men out to start. It was always going to be difficult to maintain 8 and over for that length of time. Especially the way I bat, I can't hit the ball off the square at the best time. So it's difficult. I think that we actually had a chat after the game, and we're relatively pleased with the position we're in to not lose the game, to be honest.
No, absolutely. And you entertain league leaders Frinton this weekend. So I suppose what's your approach going to be to that game? Because obviously it's a very difficult game.
Yeah. Well, we're lucky to have a youngie back. He was away at a wedding on Saturday, so he's back and obviously back for the rest of the season, hopefully. And we've got Mighty as well. It's not always nice to be playing at home because we play well there. We know how to play and how to win there. And it's sort of a free game. Like they've done really well in the top of the league, and they've spent a lot of money on players. So we're in a bit of an easy position to try and go out there and just try and win and get our season going again. We've had a bad month or so with a few tight losses, and just hoping that we know that we've got players to beat anyone in the league. We just haven't been firing. So hopefully we can get. We can pull off a surprise and then get going again for the second half of the season. Because like the season's by no means over. When we last won the Premier League in 2012 or something, halfway through the year we were bottom of the table and we'd won every game of the second half of the season and went on to win the league. So the season's not over. So we just need a decent result, hopefully on Saturday, to move forward and restart our season.
Absolutely, mate. Well, good luck for the weekend. Hopefully you can change the season around.
Thanks very much. Cheers, mate.
Cheers, Johnny, mate. One question before you go, Johnny. What are you cooking?
Oh, I'm cooking spicy chicken pasta. Yeah, you interrupted me on my cooking and actually interrupted me from watching what looks like a decent finish in the cricket. So, I'll time it better next week if possible.
Okay, well, winning, you'll be on first. So, there you go.
Perfect.
Cheers, Johnny.
Cheers, mate. All right, see ya.
Johnny Atkinson there. I keep saying captain of Reap player for Cambridge Cricket Club. 50 maker now after last week. Right, let's talk England then. Rob, if you don't mind, we'll get you back in the conversation and get your thoughts on England. It was all going so well. This was going to be the World Cup where they finally sort of banished the scars of years gone by. But back-to-back defeats, and it seems to sort of be crumbling a little bit.
Yeah. Like I say, as the pressure got to him, all this talk about, you know, being the number one side, and I think Roy is a big miss at the top of the order. I watching them against Australia, they looked like they got found out a little bit.
Did they bowl too short early on?
I would say so, with the conditions. You know, there's a lot of balls that kind of missed just around the top stumps and stuff. You think, well, if these are English bowlers bowling in what you would class as proper English conditions. Mm-hmm. And they had an Australian trouble. Like I say, back of a length, I personally think it was the greatest bowling. But like I say, Australia did what they had to do and they learnt from England. And
yeah, and I guess obviously restricting 283 was a good effort. I think 280 odd was a good effort in the end. Fortunately, the batting let them down. Batting let them down against Sri Lanka, Callum, and you think that was the real game, I guess, that we should be talking about.
Yeah, I suppose that's the game that if, you know, we don't end up qualifying, I still believe we will qualify. I think we'll beat potentially both of them, actually.
New Zealand, India to come.
Yeah, but I think that will be the game if we didn't qualify that people would look back and say, you know, because Sri Lanka actually got an underpar score, didn't bat particularly well. And obviously we've choked a bit there rather than the Pakistan game. Pakistan played out of their skin, really. Posted, 360, 350. And Australia, I think, bowled really well. Second innings yesterday with runs on the board, which we previously said, you know, can play more on the mentality than anything.
Yeah, it almost feels a bit like timing's everything, I guess, in sport. And Australia, I guess, 12 months ago, they're in sort of disarray and they've had this whole time to rebuild and they've managed to concoct a side together. England have had 12 months of I guess, pressure of being the number one side in the world. And it's almost as if it's sort of come at the right time for Australia and that they're a no-lose situation, whereas England, there's all this expectation on them.
It's also when I think, actually, Australia probably put out their best team they have, you know, best balanced team they have in the game against England. I think it's taken them up to this stage to actually find that balanced team. But in saying that, they haven't lost a game lost a game, you know, in the previous game. So all the while they've been, you know, trying to get that balance of the team, they haven't lost, and it's given them that kind of ability to then mix and match. I think Berendorf bowled fantastic up front, whereas Coulton Iwer and Kane Richardson have been quite expensive when they've played. So I think they found a bit of a gem there.
Yeah, and in 20 seconds, what do England then need to do, Rob, to to qualify? Obviously, apart from just saying beat India and New Zealand.
I think it's the bowlers, really. You know, again, pitch it up. The Indians don't like anything pitched up, and Kohli's a prime example. You can get him, if you get him early doors with swinging into his pads, I think he's a key wicket for England.
And Jason Roy, big miss, Callum comes right back in if he's fit.
Jason, yeah, absolutely. He comes straight back in, and in answer to your question, I think we need a flat pitch. We get on a flat pitch, we seem all right. As Morgan says, when we're hitting it to the boundaries, we're fine, but it's actually, you know, the wickets where we have to rotate strike, we've struggled on. So get us on a flat one, and potentially Liam Plunkett as well.
Yeah,
I think he was probably a bit of a miss because Wood was expensive when he come back for the first bit.
Yeah, well, let's see if Liam Plunkett comes back in for that match on Sunday against India. Up next is Tim Willett, the New Music Generator, if you're listening on Wednesday, and then on Saturday, if you're listening, this show gets repeated at 12. After us is Bums on Seats. Thank you much, Callum. Thanks much, Rob, for coming, and we'll see you all next week.
Cambridge 105 Radio.